Welcome to the Retail Transformation Show with me, Oliver Banks. This is your weekly podcast, delivering you the insight, ideas, and inspiration to successfully change and transform in our ever-evolving world of retail. Enjoy listening. Shrink is a huge focus area right now for retailers, and it's always been a key focus area for retailers. But shrink or shrinkage is a term that seems clear and obvious, but it has some hugely complex root causes, much more convoluted than we might first imagine. And due to this complexity, we don't often consider or appreciate the full meaning or scope of the term shrink, especially if we are seeing adverse shrink performance versus budget. Simultaneously, we've seen retail crime spiral out of control, it seems, in recent months, both in terms of shoplifting and theft, but also, worryingly, in terms of aggressive behaviour to colleagues. Shrink is a critical topic right now in every retail business, but it's a tough nut to crack. So in this episode, we're going to dive in, and I wanted to share some suggestions and perspectives to help you tackle this crucial business challenge. Welcome to the Retail Transformation Show. My name is Oliver Banks. I'm your host, and I'm a retail transformation specialist, helping leaders to understand, optimize, and level up their operating model. I'm also the author of Driving Retail Transformation, How to Navigate Disruption and Change. It's out now, and it's available wherever you normally buy your books. And if you've not already grabbed your copy, then do go and get tucked in, because the feedback is phenomenal, and it makes me very proud, both of what, obviously, the product I've created, but more importantly, the impact it can have to help you and your organization to drive effective change. This one is episode 290, number 290. And we're going to be diving into the topic of shrink, which we haven't covered hugely in the podcast up to now, curiously. But as I said, it is a crucial topic for all retailers, and left unmanaged or unchecked, it can act as a major drag and drawback to business performance. So the opportunity to understand shrink and then deliver change to the operating model or the business model can be hugely meaningful overall. So in this episode, we're going to be exploring and understanding more about shrink. And then in the following episode, episode 291, we're going to be looking at some of the options that you might want to pursue, some of the changes, some of the innovations, the technologies, the non-technology solutions. There are plenty of options that are open to you to help tackle shrink. So between these two episodes, I hope we can understand and arrest shrink from spiraling out of control. And the pun is very much intended, for the record. The show notes for today's episode are at obandco.uk/290. That's obandco.uk/290. And over there, you're going to find a summary of the episode, including the four shrink types that we're going to be talking about, as well as some recommended episodes from the Retail Transformation Show, inspired by the conversation that we're going to be having today. You'll also find how to get in touch with me and have the chance to sign up for the Retail Transformation Briefing. More details over at obandco.uk/290. Let's start right at the beginning. What is shrink? Because as I suggest, it's easy to have an idea of what shrink is. It's stock loss, right? But there is a misconception that shrink is the same as theft, which is somewhat true, but also we're missing a significant part of the picture if we just think that stock loss and shrink is just because of theft. Shrink is simply unknown loss. It's most obvious, most tangible with stock, with physical stock, but it could be unknown loss of any given resource. Today's episode is definitely going to focus in on the assumption that shrink is around unknown loss of stock, though. And that missing stock could have many, many different root causes. And this is where this misconception starts, because it's all of these different root causes that are easy to overlook and then misunderstand the situation. By definition, particularly looking at the word unknown, it's hard to control shrink. It's hard to capture data about shrink. And it's also hard to truly understand the root causes of shrink unless you go out and you do intensive, intentional investigations to capture additional supplementary data where you can keep a really close eye on everything so you can understand when and how and where a particular product is evaporating into thin air. Now, just at this moment, I wanted to reflect on one of my first major engagements with shrink through a big investigation into stock record accuracy and integrity. And really, the whole aim was to get a handle of where stock record inaccuracies are created. Where is the stock going? Where are errors being made? How does this form availability issues? How does it form waste issues? How does it create shrink? And this is in the grocery sector, and it was fascinating because, firstly, it demonstrated just how many incorrect stock records there were, more than we initially realized. But furthermore, there were so many root causes about why those inaccuracies had been created, and essentially where shrink had been created. From deliveries, to incorrect count accuracies, to weight variances, process errors, data timelines, theft, lots of different root causes. And the one that I found most intriguing was due to grazing. And this is where a customer eats product as they're doing their shopping. And grapes in particular was fascinating because a customer picks up a bunch or a bag of grapes, especially when they're sold by weight, and then they eat a few as they're shopping. And when they get to the checkout and they're weighed, the customer pays. Great. The customer is definitely buying grapes. But by the time that they're weighed at checkout, it's a very different product than the product that was picked off the shelf or even delivered, right? It's just a few harmless grapes that the customer has eaten, but they have gone. And it's not just those few grapes that are the problem. Many customers are doing the same behavior, just a very occasional grape, maybe giving it to their kids, whatever. And it's such a great example because suddenly all these individual grapes add up. It's not the fact that there is a massive grape theft issue, but, and this is the same for a lot of shrink actually, it's lots of small, tiny errors that are happening very frequently, and it's actually so small and so frequently that we don't even notice. But it's also important to recognize that right now there are incorrect stock records that happen in both directions. Unders, shrink, unknown loss, and overs, unknown gain, if you will. And both of these present challenges to the business and the operating model in different ways. Although I'm sure you can appreciate, we look forward to discovering one much more than we look forward to discovering the other. So in just a moment, we're going to explore some of the different reasons and root causes for shrink, but very quickly, I just wanted to spend a moment and reflect on retail crime. Today we're going to be talking about theft, but what we're not going to be talking about is the other aspects of retail crime, in particular, the impact to store colleagues. Physical, mental, and emotional impact. This can be driven by aggressive behavior from customers, or even just the weight and the mental anguish caused by shrink and stock loss in and by itself. Now, this all is a huge issue for, of course, individuals, but also teams and companies. And I just wanted to be really clear, we're not forgetting this. This is a big issue by itself, and it's related to shrink, but we're not talking about this specifically today or next week, actually. But there are absolutely crossovers, and I just wanted to be really open with you right now. So I hope that makes sense. So let's start to understand shrink. And actually, we're going to start with theft, because it's the most obvious and it's arguably the most pressing right at the moment. There are many different forms of theft. Let's start breaking it down. Firstly, intentional versus unintentional theft. Intentional theft, fairly obvious what it is, right? But unintentional theft exists all over the place. An example is that customer eating a couple of grapes as they walk around the store. I bet they wouldn't walk out of the store and say, I've done a good job of shoplifting today, right? Another form of genuine unintentional theft is a misscan at self-checkouts. Now, you might argue there are very few misscans that happen, and I'd agree with you, especially if you are trying your very best, but they can happen. But really, when we're talking about theft, I think the much bigger issue is the intentional theft. And this can, again, be split down. We can think about detected theft versus undetected theft. A detected theft is something very obvious. It's a big bulk theft of, let's say, an entire shelf of spirits or some other valuable product. Maybe it's a brash and bold approach and store colleagues observe stealing actually happening. It's obnoxious, it's obvious. But then there is undetected theft, petty shoplifting, if you will. A single item disappears into someone's coat or bag. We can't detect it, and we won't discover that that particular item has been stolen until a particular issue down the line, an unexpected gap on shelf, a stock record error when we count or audit stock. And we can also think about theft as being organised or opportunistic. You know, organised crime is a big issue at the moment, and data suggests it's growing right now. And this could be organised in many different forms, whether it's premeditated, we've got teams of people working together and coordinated. It could be bringing in particular pieces of equipment, whether that's to access product, whether that's foil-lined bags, whether that's even substitute products to make a hot swap for, whether that's planning the route around the store, or many more very elaborate methods as well, of course. But then at the other end of the spectrum, we've got the opportunistic shoplifter. Perhaps they enjoy the rush of adrenaline that comes with shoplifting. They don't mean to do it, but they enjoy it. Maybe they're facing a particular crisis at home or financially, and they recognise that maybe they just can't afford the shopping this week, or actually they need a little something extra. And then, of course, there is that opportunistic shoplifter where they just can't help themselves. They're an addict, for example, and they are just looking for things to steal. They're intentionally doing it, but they don't have any sort of plan. And then the other angle to cut theft is understanding between staff crime and customer crime. Now, of course, in stores, it could be either. In locations such as a warehouse or fulfillment centre, of course, there are no customers, so staff crime is our key target area. And again, this split follows the same pattern as well. We could have organised staff crime versus opportunistic. Now, we recognise that theft happens. It's really difficult to capture any data on it, though. Of course, we've got aspects like CCTV. We may have security tags, so we know when a particular product has been stolen and taken through security gates, and obviously the alarm's gone off. We may be lucky to use technology like RFID that allows us to understand exactly what has gone and when. Now, that's going to make life a lot easier, but of course, we may not have RFID universally used across the store range or not used at all, right? And we'll come back to RFID in the next episode as a potential solution for sure. But really, as we're trying to get a handle on shrink, think about how you can dissect your theft into all of these different categorizations and segmentations and make hypotheses about what's happening. Consider what extra data you can capture. Consider how you can use aspects like CCTV to begin to differentiate between the different root causes that are happening within this great big root cause of theft. So right now we're going to move on from theft and we're going to think about our second root cause, and that is around poor reporting of stock exiting the building, so to speak. Now this could be damaged product not being recorded effectively. It could be waste not being disposed of in line with the process. It could be returns not being handled effectively. We could be using product samples and not logging them. We could be making window displays and not attributing stock appropriately. We could be making interstore transfers and not processing it through, so the stock just vanishes from the stock record. There could be checkout scan errors from staff checkouts as well. There are so many different aspects here that can be happening where stock is exiting the building in an honest way. You know, let's say a damaged product is damaged, we can't sell it, we need to write it off, but we're not writing it off according to the process or according to the right system. And so it suddenly just vanishes when we're looking at the digital paper trail, if you will. And these can be through a number of different reasons, right? We could be making mistakes through laziness, like, oh, this process is really difficult, I'm just going to not do it, right? We could be making genuine mistakes where we don't understand the process and we don't understand what we need to do for a damaged product. There could be miscommunication about who is doing a particular process. Who is meant to be writing off that damaged product? There could also be a number of other silly mistakes, frankly, that are happening. And so whilst this poor reporting could be intentional, most likely it's unintentionally happening here. The one other factor that we also must consider is that actually it might be poor reporting of a particular stock movement upstream, and it just happens to filter through to the endpoint, whether that's a store, whether that's a fulfillment center. But the good news is we can tackle this quite effectively through aspects like process and system reviews, retraining, and quite simply, clear communication about why it's so important to understand how the stock is moving, how it's exiting the business, for whatever genuine reason it is. So that's our second root cause. And really, I suppose, as we're approaching this particular challenge, I'm being quite methodical in terms of how we're identifying what's going on, how we're analysing and root causing the different situations. And I'm reflecting back on my days as a mechanical and systems engineer, where we had a problem-solving process for when things don't go to plan. And shrink is definitely not a planned outcome. Even if we do recognize that it's going to happen and we do assign budget for example, we don't want it to happen ever, right? So we can approach shrink in the same way. We can use a problem-solving process. And that's a topic that I dive into actually in my book, Driving Retail Transformation. So if you've got a copy, you'll find more about that in chapter 13 called Avoiding the Inevitable Roadblocks. So let's move on to our third root cause, and this is delivery inaccuracies. We could have a huge number of different root causes here. We could have singles or cases, or even weighed products if we're in the grocery sector, or some other sectors as well. Maybe we've got unrecorded or unreported damage that's happening upstream, and perhaps it's being pulled out so it doesn't damage other products. We could have left-offs where a store order, for example, has been collated, but it doesn't all fit in the trailer, and so a particular product, or pallet, or roll cage, or rail, whatever that is, gets left off. Or of course it could fall off unintentionally before it is loaded. And essentially, as a company, we believe the stock is on the trailer, but of course it's not. It's left in the warehouse, no one knows where it's from, especially if it's not uniquely labelled up, and suddenly that stock evaporates up. It still exists, obviously, but it's not where it needs to be, and someone now has got a shrink challenge. I've seen plenty of examples where incorrect deliveries are made and the wrong stock goes to the wrong store or location. And that leads to both overs and unders. If both deliveries are made to the same organisation, of course that stock is still all within the business. So net, we're on track. But actually one store's up, one store's down. That might be across a range of different products. And suddenly that shrink is starting to escalate, but we can't understand it. It's unknown, it's undetectable. We could have stock record errors at the distribution center, and it's meant to be picked for the order, but it doesn't exist for a number of other reasons. And suddenly the out of stock doesn't get updated onto the order for whatever reason. And of course, there's plenty of opportunity for theft in the supply chain, as well as intentional fraud as well. You know, I'm thinking about companies purposefully shorting orders and sending it in. And when I first came across this concept, I thought, no, surely that doesn't happen that much, right? And actually, speaking to an auditor, I was genuinely surprised just how big a problem this is. So it could be a company far upstream the supply chain that is perhaps producing or creating this, and they're making and taking a few shortcuts and pocketing the profit, and this shrink is created right from the very start. In fact, that unknown lost product never, ever existed, which is, it's just a bonkers situation, but it's the world that, of course, we live in right now, unfortunately. And have always lived in as well, I suggest, probably is the case. Now, to really get a handle of this, again, loads of different opportunities here. So you've got to do a process review, and you may want to do this through a number of different spot checks, for example, across the different stages of the supply chain, whether it's at the shelf, at the store's point of delivery, at the DC's point of dispatch, at the DC's shelf or stock location, at the DC's arrival, etc., etc. Go through and do spot checks. Where is the stock correct or not correct? Where is shrink and inaccuracy created and how? You may want to do a number of different pieces of data analysis to understand trends and patterns. Maybe it's about particular lines or brands or DCs or times of year, for example. And with all of this from the process review and a data analysis, you've got to follow the data. Where are inaccuracies starting? And where are they leading to, right? But it may also be that you just can't capture the data, and therefore you need to do an investigation to capture supplementary data, new data, to be able to compare system records versus reality. And of course, as you look upstream, you may also need to bring in suppliers as well and collaborate effectively. Now, this is arguably counterintuitive to what I just said about fraud from upstream suppliers, but you have to involve them in the conversation. You can't assume someone's guilty, right? You have to involve them in the investigation, and it may find that they're not. Of course, my expectation is the vast, vast, vast majority of suppliers are absolutely on board and honest. Just like the vast majority of customers are being honest. They're not thieving intentionally, right? So that's our third root cause. And then our final one is an error, where actually the unknown lost stock is not actually missing. We are just reporting it as missing. This could be down to accounting error. It could be down to stock control. It could be down to data timeliness. It could be down to mistakes, like the fact that a product is dual located in stores. It's two shelf locations, or maybe it's on a promotional display and a regular shelf location, and we don't realise. And so when we do, for example, a count or a stock control routine, we just look at one location, we forget the other exists, and that stock is counted as shrink. Now, of course, eventually, we will find that other stock, and we will say, oh no, actually, we have made an error. We haven't got all this shrink. But in the meantime, how much time are we going to spend in meetings and discussions talking about this awful lost stock problem that we've got? How much time are we going to spend hunting for that stock? And depending on when reporting periods lie, of course, that shrink could be locked in to a past period before it's discovered. We could also be genuinely losing stock in the warehouse or the stockroom. Obviously, the more chaotic it is behind the scenes, the more likely it is that we're going to lose stock. And then, of course, we can't neglect the fact that occasionally it might be intentional to add items into the shrink budget in order to protect other budgets. So if we're doing particularly well on our shrink budget, but we're soaring over on our damages budget, maybe it makes sense to just circumvent the process a little bit so our damage budget comes down and in line with target and our shrink budget increases, again, still within line of target. Great. But suddenly we've created shrink as an error to play the game. And we can't then really tackle the genuine problem in this example of damages, right? Now, this particular intentional shrink is unlikely in the current climate where shrink is much more of a challenge, but it's also easy. Perhaps you could just put a bit extra on the shrink budget and blame it on the external environment, right? Maybe you get an easier ride. I'm not saying everyone does this, but it has to be part of a broader investigation into errors. Because how do you absolutely know that any given product has gone? If it's a genuine mistake, we can't find that unless we go and do additional data capture, additional investigations. No one has an understanding of the error that exists within their own stock control processes, their own stock checking routines, right? That's, again, similar to the name. By definition, we can't see the unknown loss. We can't see the error that we are making. But what I would say, based on my experience, you might be surprised at the inaccuracies of stock record processes. You might be surprised at the inaccuracies of counting and stock audit processes as well. And of course, all of these errors can happen across the supply chain. So there are four different segments of shrink that we've explored today: theft, poor reporting, delivery inaccuracies, and errors. And it's most likely that all of these exist within your current shrink performance, but you don't have a clear handle as to what the split is between them. And that's why you need to go in. You need to analyze the current data that you've got, and you need to carry out investigations, as I say, intensive and intentional, to really be able to capture some additional data and really understand what is happening right now. Where is the stock evaporating to? When is it happening? Where is it happening? How is it happening? And then once you've, of course, got a good understanding of your shrink, then you can think about, how do I fix it? What are the options? What are the solutions? And that's what we're going to be coming back to next time. So do hit that subscribe button on whatever podcast app you are currently using. And look out for the following episode, episode 291. And in the meantime, why not head on over to the show notes page at obandco.uk/290, where you'll find more about the topic that we've discussed today, as well as some recommended episodes from the archives of the Retail Transformation Show. So thanks so much for tuning in today. I hope this episode has shone a light on some of the mystery that surrounds shrink. It's certainly not as easy as it first appears, and all of the different root causes are genuinely difficult to get after. That's why shrink is about unknown loss, right? We don't know, and we don't have the data to know. So I wish you tons of luck as you go about understanding your current shrink performance, and of course, looking to minimize it as well. Do feel free to share this episode with a colleague. Perhaps they are tackling the shrink challenge as well. But I appreciate you listening, and I look forward to your thoughts and feedback. So keep transforming better, and I look forward to joining you on the next episode of the Retail Transformation Show. Bye for now.